Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I am led to revisit a scripture we have spoken about, and we've thrown it out many times, but it is so helpful as we learn these principles, and there are things that I want to say about it that will help us to ponder certain thoughts and question certain things that we do and the way that we think, so that we can change a lot of where we are as relates to decisions we made based on either the knowledge or the lack of knowledge of God's Word. And so I want you to jot down Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, which simply says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." See, we usually leave all of that part out of there when we say, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and that's usually where we end that verse at. But even in that, I want to look at a couple words to help, you know, get our minds right as relate to the Word of God. First word has to do with lack. And lack means deficient of, it means destitute, it means needed, and shortage. So these words bespeak the lack that God is talking about as relates to the Word. The next word is knowledge. Acquaintance with facts, truths, or principles, as from the study or investigation of a thing. And so when you understand what knowledge is, you know that it is truth, it is facts, or it is principles, especially as relates to study or investigation. When you have that kind of knowledge, it's literally talking about erudition, which is a profound scholarly knowledge. In other words, it's research knowledge. It is knowledge that you've taken the time to go through and do some research on. It's like Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In other words, it's not just hearsay, he say, she say, it's what God says. And you have searched the scriptures to see that these things are so, that they are true, that they are real, and that God himself is not a man that he should lie. So that means you're able to back your beliefs on the Word of God, because God has made clear that all heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word shall ever pass away. So having that knowledge is important for us to make sure we understand God wants us to get a profound understanding of his word, not just to be able to quote scriptures. That's fine and that's wonderful to be able to do, but more than quoting scripture, God wants you to understand scripture. He wants you to have the revelation of that scripture so that you can practice that scripture, apply that scripture, and be profited by that scripture. If you just quoting stuff and you don't have no understanding about what it really means underneath the surface of what you've just said, then you're not going to use it many times in its proper context. You're not going to know, in other words, there's not going to be a confirmation in your spirit that you have done what is necessary to get the knowledge that God wants you to have, so that you can base your beliefs on something that is sure and that you have the understanding of. Because if you don't know that word to be a sure word, then you can't back your faith up on it. You can't really say, I know God's going to do this. I've searched the scripture. I found out that he has said this and confirmed that. Then I've looked at my own life and I've seen how he has done this in the past, et cetera, et cetera. And so everything that you make as a result of decisions based on that word, you're doing it in faith. You're doing it knowing God is no shorter than his word. But if I don't know his word, then what does that profit me? So there are some things I want you to write down, to ponder, and some questions I want you to ask yourself. First question I want you to ask yourself is, whose fault is it really if you're not walking in victory when you have already been given the answers to success? Whose fault is it, really? You've already been given the answers to success. They're found right in the Word of God. So if you don't take it upon yourself to apply yourself to study, to apply the studied knowledge to life or to issues or to decisions, then whose fault is it if you fail? Okay? So this is what I want you to ponder. You can't expect to do better if you don't know better. You can't expect your life to be better if you don't know better, if you don't know the better that God has for you, if you don't know the better that's connected with what God's promised, if you don't know the better that God expects you to live on. God expects you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of His truth, of His Word. So that means this time next year, you ought to be much further than you are right now. This time next month, you ought to be further than you were right now. This time next week, if you study the Word and apply the principle, you ought to be further along than where you are right now. God expects this of you. Now listen to this. The grace portion comes in when you don't go as far as He wants you to go. He's giving you grace still to get it together and continuously. Even if it's just one step more than you were last week, you ought to have the grace enough to take that one step. While you may have, should have gone maybe 50 feet, you've only made one step. The grace of God is giving you time yet to keep making even those baby steps, as we call it. He just wants to see some marked improvement. All right. Question. How will you know if something lines up with the Word if you don't know the Word? How can you know if something lines up with the Word if you don't know the Word? You see, that's one of the reasons why people are fooled and people are led astray, and so many religions and so many religionists lead people astray and lead them amok, because they don't take out time to study the Word like the Bereans did, to see if that is the Scripture, to see if that is what God meant about that certain Scripture. And so they just take man at his word and they follow him blindly. But now here again, if you know the truth, it's difficult for somebody to lead you in a different way. And no preacher, teacher, leader wants you to follow him or her blindly. They want you to follow them. I want you to follow me with a heart conviction of the knowledge of God's Word, that it is God's Word, God's will, and God's way for you to do what you are doing. So then when your feelings change, you won't vacillate because you had a change of feelings. You'll be waiting, you know what? Because here's what you need to know, that when you're in position, the respect goes to the position, even if you've got a problem with the personality. Amen. Did you get what I just said? In other words, you may not like me, but if God put me here and He put you here, then your responsibility is to follow me as I follow Christ. How do you know I'm following Christ unless you open up your Word and find out through the study of the Word that I'm going the right way? Here's what you need to know. If I'm going the right way, it's your responsibility to follow me, even if you don't want to go that way. So that's why you got to know the truth for yourself, because then you respect the position, but you honor God by obeying His Word. And so that's important for you to know. Something to ponder. Is it safe to say just about everyone wants success, they want prosperity, they want blessings, but many are not willing to do what it takes to get it? Is it safe to say that? I mean, the people out in the world, do you not think they want success? The homeless, the people out, in welfare lines, and said, do you not think they want success? Yes, they want success. They want prosperity. They want blessings. But the question is, are they necessarily willing? Well, we ain't got to go there for it. Let's take us, for example, right here and here. How many of you want success? How many of you want prosperity? How many of you want blessings on your life? Now, here's the question. Are you willing to do what it takes to get it? You see, that's a question only you can answer. But the truth is, whether you answer yes and practice not, you won't get it. And you got to realize God's word is not filled with vain and empty promises. It ain't no get rich quick schemes going on with God's word. God teaches us how to live a lifestyle, not just have a good happy ending for a happy situation, or to take you out of a situation for this circumstance or this time. God wants you to have a lifestyle of prosperity, a lifestyle of success, a lifestyle of being blessed. That's what he wants you to live. He wants you to wake up every day expecting a miracle. He wants you to live in a spirit of expectancy. He wants you to do what it takes. How can you expect a harvest if you've not sown no seeds? Ooh, I'm just waiting for the Lord to bless me. Why? What have you done for him to bless you? Now, yeah, he causes the sun to shine on the just and unjust, the rain to do the same. But here is the difference between those who go before God, honoring God according to his word, and then expecting the return on the investment they've made, the seed that they've sown, that they've released according to what God has promised. They're not hoping and wishing it happens. They're waiting till it happens, because they know it's gonna happen because they have followed the orders according to the word of God. Now, I hope you're writing these things down, or at least letting this go into your memory so you can remember this. The word is your instruction manual for success. This Bible is your instruction manual for success. You buy all of these, how to get rich, how to do this, how to accomplish this, how to succeed, all these other books, you read all of that, none of them are guaranteed to work like God's word. And then if you read the fine print, they'll tell you that not all results are guaranteed. That, you know, I mean, proof of past performance is no guarantee of future realities. And they'll tell you, while these results were achieved by so-and-so, you may not necessarily receive or accomplish the same. So in the small print, you don't see that they're telling you, look, this might not work for you. But God's word has got to work if you apply yourself to his word. Listen, don't make the mistake of blaming God for your issues, problems, or lack. He made provisions for you to have all your needs supplied and abundant life. This is what I want you to focus on. Why? Because how you think is directly connected with what content is placed in your thinking processes. In other words, when you put good stuff in your mind, you think good stuff. When you put bad stuff in your mind, you think bad stuff. When you put stuff that you're not sure about, it causes you to be unsure. It causes you to vacillate. It causes you to have doubt. That's why you've got to know and show the word of God the way that it ought to. Now, let me just go back and we'll come back and get a few more things. But the Bible says, my people are destroyed. Destroyed. Now, of course, that word literally means that the end of your way is not prosperous. It ends up in destruction. In other words, you end up in life a failure. His people are destroyed for a lack. We went over lack and we went over the word knowledge. But the word knowledge is a compound word made of two words, know and ledge. Now, to know something means that you have a certain conviction about that knowledge because it is something that you have learned. And when you learn it, then you can apply it for the results. But the next word is an interesting word because it says ledge. And those of you who've been in my teaching for some time know what I'm going to say about that. Listen, to know simply puts you on a ledge. It elevates you above those who do not know. Okay? It raises your ability to see above and to see beyond what others do not know. It literally raises you to a ledge advantage. You drop the L off of ledge and you've got what? It gives you the edge. Knowledge, how many of you have ever heard that, is power? Huh? Knowledge is power. I mean, if you don't believe it's power, then try and use your ATM without your pen. Ever happened to anybody? All right. Well, some of you don't. All right, I'll move on to another. Whatever it is, it's going to require knowledge in order to be successful in a certain thing, and especially as it individualizes you in a particular way. And so that's what knowledge does. To know lifts you to a ledge and it gives you an edge. But now here is the opposite of that. While it lifts you above others who do not know, you are still not in the place of knowing all. So that edge that you do have can be dangerous if you don't know enough or know how to apply it. That edge then places you one step from falling off.
Amen.
How many times have you ever heard the saying, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing? You know, a little knowledge means that you know just enough to hurt yourself. You know just enough to get yourself in trouble. You know just enough to get you in hot water. You know just enough to get you away from safety. See, the edge in reverse is acting like you know it all. And so that's one of the dangers of knowledge, and that's why we've got to consistently study, because everything that's in God's Word is in there, but everything that is to come out of God's Word has not yet come out of there. And that means that we can study the same scripture for a year, and we will become much wiser at the end of that year. But here's a helpful holy hint. You still won't know all there is to know about that Word. One of the reasons is because God only releases what you can handle at the time you're searching. That's why as you continuously grow and you know and you learn and you apply, God gives you more revelation about that same very word. And so as you continue in the study, it gives birth to new revelation, birth to new meaning. And some things can't be born yet because they ain't got to that due date of your understanding. You don't know enough of God to release that to you because you couldn't handle it. And that's why Paul has said, Jesus said, I desire to tell you many things, but you can't handle that now. And God would not be wise to give you something that will hurt you and harm you rather than help you. So, but if you continue studying and if you show yourself faithful in study, God will show you that he'll give you increased knowledge and increased ability to move from whatever level you're on to the next level God would have you to be on. Look at what he says, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Now, all of us do not reject knowledge as in studying the word and say, oh, I don't receive this. Do you know how you reject knowledge? By not applying yourself to study. By not coming to Bible study. By not getting in a devotional time or period of study. You reject knowledge when you know you got it right in your hand in the Bible and won't open it up and read its contents. You reject knowledge when God is leading you by his Spirit to study the word, to know the word, and you won't follow through with your part. So you reject knowledge more than just saying, if God gives you a word and you say, I don't receive that, that's not the rejection in and of itself that this word is talking about, even though that is inclusive of that, because many of God's people heard his word and would not receive it. We reject it when we hear it and then decide we ain't gonna practice it. That's another form of rejecting God's word, because James said, when you know better, you do better. But I'm a living witness and I can't speak for you. I know there are things that I know better and I still have not yet acquiesced to do better. God's still working on me. He ain't working on nobody else in here. I'm only speaking for John Montgomery. But what I want to say about that is, as I know that, the Spirit of truth convicts me of that. And listen again, as I know better then and I recognize God's way is going to lead to success and my way is going to lead to failure, then I make a choice. If I want success, I've got to do it God's way. If I lean to my own way, then I'm going to meet with certain failure. I can depend on that because I don't know the end from the beginning. God does. God does. This is what he say, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, 6, with all thine heart. That means I can't fragmentedly trust God with a part of my heart. I've got to give him all. I've got to believe it all. I've got to know and trust that God's got this thing fixed, that he knows what he's doing, that his word is settled in heaven forever, that as he has already placed this word in place, if I simply follow it, I have what he promised me. When I get to that reality, I will not lean to my own understanding. My own understanding is what made me make the bad decisions I made. My own understanding is what made me think I could do it my way. I did it my, and now I'm crying. I'm whining. I'm like, God, when are you going to deliver me? Because I did. My own understanding is what has made me feel, experience, see, and do the things that have got me in the place where God doesn't want me. So wherever you are, financially, spiritually, physically, and any other way, if you're there and it hadn't been because you followed God's plan, it's because you have leaned to your own understanding. Some of us don't have no Christmas money right now. That's due to your own understanding. You didn't tithe, didn't do the offerings, didn't put away no money, didn't do what you were supposed to do. Now you're there, you know, hoping for a miracle. Well, you ain't got to look at me like I'm making this up. Then what little money you could sow, you go and sow it in lotto. Pick three. Hoping you can win some of the millions of dollars in the big lottery and whatever the case is. And you know what? They're dependent on a whole lot of more folk like you who are hoping that they can win them a big cash payout. But here, why guess and gamble when you can get it because God has guaranteed it? And we'd rather go do that because it's a quick fix. Is it really? No, it's a good way to get it out your hand with no promised guaranteed return on it. And then when you do it, it may win $5. You ain't got sense enough to hold on to the $5. You go, give me five more, give me two more. Well, you know what? There's a sign that says, if you've got a gambling problem, call this number. I wish somebody heard me here. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. I want you to know this. If his word is settled again, it never changes and never returns void. If his word is settled, never changes and never returns void. See, that's where you can know the knowledge of God's word. If God says, listen, this thing is settled, nothing and no one can change my mind on it. The devil can't undo it. If you believe it and stick to it, here's the end result of it. Man, then that word is not coming back void. It may take a minute before you win it, but you're going to get it. And if you know that, it's just a matter of walking in assurance in that. And man, I tell you, when you begin to walk in expectancy, you can't sleep all day. You get up early in the morning expecting this thing to come. You want to get that. There are some people, listen, especially those who get their checks on the first and the third and know what time the mailman run. They don't wake up after the mailman run. They there many times to greet him. I'm here to pick up my, thank you so much. I got the mail. I'm waiting on him at the gate. When you know your stuff is coming, you looking for it. You already made your plans, got up early and showered and got your clothes on. You about ready to take out, but you can't go till you get that check. You know? I mean, hey, that's how sure God is of his word. And when you are sure of his word as he is of his word, you begin to make your plans based on the fact that I'm going to get what God has promised me. I believe it. You start planning your life. Now, that's real expectancy. If God said it, you believe it, then go on, start getting yourself together. You know God is no shorter than his word. You should know that the devil comes to kill, steal, and he comes to destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. You ought to know that. If you know that, then why do you let the things he do upset you? If you know the devil's tricks, if you know his traps, if you know what he does traditionally, that's what he comes to do. If you know that, be ready for it. Be sober, be vigilant, be alert. Know that there's not a day that comes by the devil is not going to try and take you out. Put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He doesn't play fair. You looking for him in the front, he's going to try to backstab you. He's going to try and catch you on your blind side. He's going to try and catch you where you're least prepared, where you're not looking, where you're not paying attention. So if the word tells you about this, gives you knowledge of this, then why do you allow this to upset your day? When you knew he was coming. And if he showed up, you knew what he was going to do. Devil, if he gives you a box, I can tell you right now, it ain't no present. It's a bomb or something in it. He don't bring you gifts. He doesn't bring you blessings. So don't be fooled by the packaging. See, a whole lot of us get messed up by the packaging and don't understand that it's what's in it that destroys us. How many times have you seen something packaged real beautiful in the inside that the content on the inside wasn't even worth the packaging? I mean, you got to be careful. You've heard the old saying, you can't judge a book by its same principle. All right. We many times succumb to the devil's, listen to this, attacks because we don't know the truth. We many times fall prey to the devil's attacks because we don't know the truth. We fall prey to his tricks because we don't know the truth. We don't know how to judge whether this is of God or of the devil. And because we don't know how to judge that, to be able to inspect that, to know whether or not it is lining itself up with the word or the will or the way of God, the devil gets over on us. And listen to this. He doesn't just do it to the unsuspecting in the world. He does it to the believers who are not read up, fed up, and prayed up. And so when you're not in that place of knowledge and understanding of that, then the devil gets you and we succumb to all of his tricks, trials, and tribulations and the things that he does because we, again, aren't aware of that. Here's the question. The Holy Spirit operates on the tracks of the Word. I've shared that many times with you. How can you expect the Holy Spirit to operate in your life if there is no Word in your heart?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
You know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage.
All kids face something.
It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel.
Be all right.
transmitting all day.